Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
When you come, if you come to the altar and find or remember, it's at the altar very often before God. You think everything's in order. I'm doing good, Lord. What about this? Then he brings up how you treated somebody. I didn't come here for that. He says, yeah, but this is as far as you're getting until you deal with that. God knows how to bring things up in our heart. We got to give him time. We got to spend that time with him. It affects your relationships. And God's all about relationships.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Anger is dangerous. It can lead us to do and say things that we'll regret. It also can cause a root of bitterness to take hold of our lives. As believers, we're to deal with our issues. We're not to allow anger to defile us, to get in the way of what God is trying to do in and through us. We're to get those things right away. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 22, as we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled, Unmasking Anger.
The expression of murder, the outward act of murder, is really the result of an inner anger that begins in the heart, which is sin. Anger without being righteous anger is sin. Murder is a process that begins with an inner anger of some sort. Maybe it's a personal anger or just an anger at a group, or it's just an anger. It's inside, it's dwelt upon. It begins to grow and flower, and it begins to turn into an outward expression, maybe just words, maybe hitting a wall, doing some foolish things, but then if left unchecked, begins to go beyond that. It's like a blaze that continues to build. We call it rage, and the idea is of that of an inferno, how fire rages. And that's what anger does. It starts here, but it doesn't stay here. That's why Jesus has been dealing with them on the inside. That's why in 2 Corinthians, he says, you're able to take every thought captive, because all sin begins right here. And anger is no different. It starts in here. You know, most of the time when I have been a little harsh on my children, it's because I have not disciplined myself to take the situation under control immediately. And so I am patient, but I'm not long-suffering. I'm not patient, really. I'm just selfish. I don't want to do something right now. So just stop it. Stop it. Stop that. Did I say stop it? And then it gets louder. And then finally, you explode on them. That's wrong. It was building up already. And whose fault is it that I exploded? Theirs? Because of they didn't stop it? Mine. Because I didn't do what I needed to do, which was handle the situation. I needed to stop it. I needed to stop doing whatever I was doing, and I needed to handle the situation with God's heart the right way. So it was my fault. Murder is a process. Now, I'm not thinking about killing my kids. I've never thought about that. But there is a seed in all of us that, if left unchecked, can turn into things we never imagined. Abuse, death, and it goes on. And none of us are above that, because it's a seed that the enemy scatters in every heart. Some of us are a little more susceptible to it. We have a little more fertile soil for some reason. And we're going to talk about some of those reasons in a moment. But anger consumes, and it can lead even to accidents. You accidentally say something that you never intended to say, but in the heat of anger, you wanted to use any weapon you could. You say something. It was in the heart. It was there. Don't say, oh, I'm sorry, I said that in anger. Yeah, but that was in the heart. It happens with kids all the time, where accidents will happen because of anger. I see it in my own kids. I think, you know, my kids are, I mean, fairly good kids. I've seen kids in the world, and my kids, I think, are pretty good kids, but they still are kids. And as they get angry, they may tug on one or the other or kind of give a push away. So accidents happen in anger. So we can't overlook the accidents. We need to start resolving the problem. The accident happens for a reason. I've seen families get into arguments that end up in sometimes leading to violence, hitting, whether it be hitting the wall or hitting each other. And sometimes those accidents result in major damage and even death. Anger is a consuming fire that if it's left unchecked and undealt with in the heart, it will get worse. It'll get worse, and it'll get worse, and it'll get worse, and it will lead maybe to an accident. Maybe it's an accident, maybe it's intentional, but something bad will happen. Don't think you're above it. You need to pull the weeds of anger out of your life, out of your heart, because it'll get worse. Now, whether it's an accident or intentional, God calls it murder because it's about the motivation. How did this happen? I didn't intend to kill them. No, but your motive was out of anger. You lashed out. God calls that murder. Let me read to you Numbers chapter 35, verses 20 through 21. God says, He's speaking about, here's what constitutes murder. And here's what we're going to do about it. I'm just going to read one portion. If he pushes, the person who murders, him out of hatred, or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in enmity, he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. In enmity. Just in enmity. If you're at war with them, that could be two brothers who are angry on any given day. Two family members. So if your motive, you were angry and there's an accident and someone dies because of your aggression toward one another, God sees that as murder. And we need to be very, very careful. Now, what are the causes? Because, all right, I get angry. How do I control the anger? We got to look a lot earlier. We got to go back and check out the seed of that anger. It may be different for all of us. It would take us a series of studies to really talk about all of those seeds of anger, but we're going to talk about just a few. One, jealousy. Jealousy causes anger to begin. It could be, there are two types of jealousy, by the way. One is jealous of another person, jealous of them, and all of a sudden I don't like them. I don't like them. And I'm not getting the opportunity. Or you think you should have more than them. A good example of jealous hatred that would have turned to murder if God had allowed it was Saul and David. They cried out, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands, because David went out and slew the giant. And Saul was very, very jealous that the people began to admire him more, and he wanted to kill him, get rid of him. So there's an anger. But there's also a jealousy for another person. That is, usually in relationships this happens. It's just a bitter jealousy. It's consuming. You can't let them out of your sight. You know, you're waiting for, where are they at? And you start playing in your mind all these scenarios so that by the time they're home, they've done everything and you're upset. Where have you been? I was at work. I told you I was going to be at work. We had to work late today. No, I don't know. Let me try. There's your clothes. And what's that on your collar? You know, all this jealousy. We have to be careful of that. That consumes, destroys relationships, and destroys us. It's been estimated that jealousy is a problem in about one of the three couples who are consistently in marriage counseling. Jealousy is a big factor. About one half of women in women's shelters are being protected from abuse by a jealous lover. One of five murders can be tied back to some form of jealousy. Jealousy is a big one. If jealousy is something that bubbles in your heart, be careful. There is an end to this that can be very damaging, destructive. We need to be very careful and catch that root and take it to the Lord. Pride is another. When the pride is dinged, it can cause anger. It's the attitude that says, I deserve more. I deserve better. But you don't. An example was Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army in 2 Kings chapter 5. He heard that there was a prophet in Israel who could cure him of his leprosy. And so he goes, this commander of the army, the entire Syrian army, he goes and expects some respect a little bit. So he goes and he visits the prophet Elisha. And as he visits, apparently he expected that Elisha would come and greet him personally and do some magic or some kind of thing, but Elisha doesn't even come. Elisha instead sends his servant and says, tell him to go dunk himself in the Jordan 7 times. What? That filthy... we got better springs where I'm from. But he ended up submitting himself, humbling himself. He got upset though. His anger could have caused the wrong reaction. But he overcame, he submitted himself, and he saw the work of God in his life. So pride, here's a big one, selfishness. Selfishness causes anger. When we want to accomplish our own agendas, we want me time, we get upset with those who distract us from me time. So you're watching the TV program. You're doing something that's really insignificant, reading a book, and the children... they come and they kind of bug you. Mom, look at my coloring. Dad, can you help me with this? They're excited about something. They come. They don't intend to be a bother. But you got something else going on. You got a different agenda, schedule. You're selfish, focused on you. And so what do? Hey, stop. Where'd that come from? What did they do? They didn't do anything. Yeah, they tapped your arm a couple of times. I was just in a fast food restaurant recently. A mom with 3 of her kids, maybe 12, 10, 8, age range. And so she's over there with her device, just entrenched, not talking to the kids, not doing anything with the kids. Just the kids had done nothing to get the mom upset. Just, hey, mom, look at... they got some little toy that they were messing with. And they're like, hey, mom, look what I made. Look at this. And like, yeah, yeah. No, mom, check this one out. What? They didn't do anything. And yet she's already bursting out in anger. Selfishness. That's what that is. And it causes us to vent out in anger. We need to be very careful that we're not being selfish. Another thing that can cause us to have anger or hatred even, is the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. When someone just tells you just straight up, it hurts. Jeremiah preached to the nation of Israel, need to turn, God's going to judge. They didn't like that message, so it became too late. And then he finally started saying, look, we're going to be judged. Babylon's going to come in. We need to surrender to them. This is God's judgment. If you don't surrender to them and you try to defend yourself, you're going to die. And they said, we're going to imprison you. We're going to get rid of you. We don't like your words. And they were angry. The truth can hurt. Regardless of the source, regardless of the seed, anger, temper is not good. And it needs to be kept in check. We need to be careful. Therefore, he says, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I just want to say here that this tells me and should speak to all of us that God's priorities are relationships more than rituals. God doesn't care if you're here every single week in your seat. He doesn't care if you're serving, offering sacrifices, crying and worship and all of those things. If you're not taking care of the thing that he says is most important, and that is the relationships that he's placed you in. To be a light. To minister into. To care for. In Isaiah, God told the people that their sacrifices were meaningless. Now, he established the sacrifices. The ritual he established, but he said they're meaningless to me because they're not serving their purpose. Your heart is supposed to be for me, and yet your heart is wicked. You're not even tending to the broken, the lost, the poor. You're lying to each other, and I just don't really care for your sacrifices or your praise. It's a stench. Your worship will not be enhanced because of better song selection, because we do more hymns or less hymns. Your worship will be enhanced according to your relationships. As you are the person that God wants you to be in those relationships, your worship will begin to blossom and flourish. I sometimes wonder if some people have poor worship experiences publicly because they have wrong or distant relationships, or a wrong or distant heart toward other people around them. And their distance from God comes from a distance from other people or God's people. God's all about ministering one to another. I know it's just me and you, just me and Him, but really the me and Him time is not going to be a quality time if I'm not consistent and considerate on the time with the people around me. It's very important. So pay attention to your relationships. Agree, verse 25, with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Now, this isn't speaking of hell, because you don't pay the last penny and then get out of hell. The idea is that anger in your heart, when you have done something wrong against someone else, it's something you have to carry around, and it is like a prison, and you will be in that prison until you have paid the full price, and it is a heavy weight. Your relationship has changed with somebody you've done wrong, with somebody maybe you're angry with. Your whole relationship has changed. You can't talk to them. You can't talk with others about good things about them. They say, oh, and you see so-and-so, oh, he's doing this now. Yeah, I know. I don't like him so much, you know. Everything changes, and God says, oh yeah, if that's your attitude, then there's something between me and you. And you find yourself in a prison, not them. They're free. They're running around, not aware. But you're the one imprisoned. It affects your relationship with others. It affects your relationship with God. So how do we change that? Here's some preventive measures, just two of them. One, spending time with the Lord will prevent anger from being able to grow in your heart. This scenario hinges on the fact that the guy came to the altar. When you come, if you come to the altar and find or remember, it's at the altar very often before God. You think everything's in order. I'm doing good, Lord. What about this? Then he brings up how you treated somebody. I didn't come here for that. He says, yeah, but this is as far as you're getting until you deal with that. God knows how to bring things up in our heart. We got to give him time. We got to spend that time with him. It affects your relationships, and God's all about relationships. God's not as concerned about the ministry. Sometimes we can say, hey, we have a vision, we have ministry, we're going to do this, and we'll recruit you, we'll get you, we'll keep your feet to the fire, we'll get it done, and we will use you for the sake of God's ministry. God doesn't care about that ministry. God can do the ministry without me. God is concerned about the people ministering, the people. He'll get all that stuff done. My job, your job, is to minister one to another, to care about each other, to build each other. That's our role. And if we forget that, people will become simply a resource, which should never happen in the church. Never. So spending time with the Lord, it'll give us the right sense of convictions. It'll give us the right direction. In fact, Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. I can't even explain real well the difference between the soul and spirit. We've got all sorts of definitions, and we've done a good job, I think, of helping others understand it. But the Word of God is a discerner, cuts right to the heart. I know sometimes you're out there thinking it's me. You say, did somebody tell him about me? Did you tell him about my anger problem? It's nothing. We just happen to be here. We go verse by verse. We're on anger today. So if you're convicted, you might want to consider that God knows about your anger. God knows about the seeds of jealousy or selfishness in you that stirs up those outbursts. And maybe today He wants you to start dealing with that on a whole new level, a deeper level, a sooner, earlier level, so that it doesn't come out in those outbursts. Is it possible for you to never have another outburst? It is. But you got to follow the Lord. You got to have His heart. You got to recognize them early so that even though it happens in here, it doesn't come out here. Scripture says, be angry and do not sin. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So spending time with the Lord, it's a great preventive maintenance. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then being led by the Spirit. We should be led by the Spirit. If we are, then we will end up in the right places, doing the right activities with the right priorities, paying attention to the right people. If not, and we're led by the flesh, we will be in unstable places and we will have a wrong sense of priorities. We need to be Spirit-led. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:16-23. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, this is the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Why are these the fruit? It's not because your heart is perfect. Your heart is wicked. It's just selfish. It's that you catch it early and the fruit that comes out is adjusted. Instead of bad fruit that's from the flesh coming out, fruit that is governed now by the Holy Spirit comes out, and those are the fruits that people see. Now, you would still say of yourself, man, I'm wicked. Oh, I have so much jealousy. I have so much selfishness in my heart. Yes, it's in your heart. But because you're being led by the Spirit, you're sensitive to the Spirit, you're not letting it come out now. And people will say to you, wow, you're so different. You're so kind. I'm kind? What do you mean I'm kind? We'll never say that again. No, I'm kind. And you just drop to your knees and you thank God that they would see that you're kind, because you know you're not. The one thing God keeps dealing with you is anger. And they say you're kind and nice and giving, and they can never see that in you. You know why they can never see that in you? Because God is dealing with it so much in your heart. It's the one thing you keep fighting, and you're overcoming. And as you're overcoming it, you're excelling in it. And you don't realize it. And what they see isn't what you know about yourself. And it's different. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The weeds of anger need to be recognized and pulled up before they do damage, because anger is a seed that begins long before you recognize it. It blossoms into a perspective, an outlook, and explodes into activity and can lead to death. At every stage, though, it's still murder. Jesus calls it murder, because a seed of a sunflower is still a sunflower. That's the way Jesus views it. He says, let's pluck those things out of there. It's not good. We need to identify and deal with them as soon as possible. Let me close with this. Hebrews 12:14-15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many have become defiled.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.